Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On YouTube, on podcast, on live, this is Rebel Yell from the WFCSN. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
Episode 6 of the 23-24 season of the Rebel Yell podcast, brought to you by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical, our lovely sponsors. Spencer, it's just me and you tonight. It's like the old days, isn't it, mate?
It is. Yes, too.
Yeah. Yako, the sort of substitute, he's gone. Pete's warming his voice for commentary against
He's got to save his voice.
Action-packed bumper episode coming up here, Spence. We've got Aaron Racine, Captain Fantastic, who's sadly... Retired, but
club legend,
always club legend, and we've got a good interview of him. Obviously, the usual gaffers, John Donoghue, Adam Hinchelwood, and I think without further ado, we've got a big announcement to make. If you haven't been following our social media for the past 7 days, at least, I mean, I hope you followed it longer than that, because it has been around a little bit longer, you've seen some teaser videos. And those teaser videos, what were they, Spencer? What were they about?
Something very bright.
Very bright, very bold.
Very vibrant.
Vibrant. About vibrant. Yeah. And maybe something to do with Rebel Yell merch. It's our fourth drop. Hopefully by now, you would have seen last night, Thursday, we released our collaboration with Two Face Twins, local artists, and Worthing Food Foundation, our supporter shirt, with the peer on their fantastic piece of artwork. It's been fantastic. It's been a long process, hasn't it?
We've been on a real... journey with the shirts, but what a journey
it's been. Good. I mean, I think those that know us, we like a beer on a match day, don't we? You know, we go and have a few beers after, and we normally chat rubbish, and you sort of, most of it's incomprehensible,
but that's just normal.
That's what happened with our other t-shirts, the three that have sold very well, really. I mean, one thing I think we've done this at the end of the day to raise money for Sports Association. That's when we started the t-shirts, and it is great to see when you see people wearing them on match day, because, you know, something we've done, just a sort of little thought up idea, but we thought, why not do something a little bit different? Now, anyone knows Spencer, he knows he likes a classic football shirt, doesn't he? He likes a vibrant, he likes his... What was the team in Wales that you saw, the first sort of tiny rebel one?
Rogerstone.
So if you don't know...
This is a random reference.
But it is, but this is where you got the idea, really, weren't it? About sort of doing viral football shirts. And we thought, how can we tie that in with the local community, Worthing? Worthing, being a community-led club, community-run club, we thought, Two-Face Twin. I've got a piece of their artwork at home on the wall, and I said to Spencer, I said, why don't I do that? So what did I do? I went and downloaded a picture off the internet and put a football shirt blank over it, and sent them in an email, probably incomprehensible, saying, fancy a collab?
Yeah. Who's these two guys sending me this email at like 1 o'clock on a Saturday night?
And 2 days later, hello. Yes, we'd love to. But it's been a long process, hasn't it? Because we've had to get supplies, we've had to get it at the right price for the fans, because we appreciate money's tight. We were going to release it before Christmas, but due to our cup runs, it kind of just didn't happen. So we thought, let's do it on that first sort of home game after the New Year payday. And I think it's been received pretty well so far.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get into our recent results and our performances, but hopefully bump a crowd on Saturday as well.
Yeah, as well, if you haven't seen it, it's £35. Percentage of that does go to Worthing Food Foundation, who are like a fantastic local charity that have helped many in the local community. Obviously, as you know, those that book WFCSA travel, or if you didn't know, the Ticket Pass, which is an ethical ticketing company, donates a little bit of the fee towards a charity. We've selected Worthing Food Foundation, so they've been benefiting from our, since we've gone onto the Ticket Pass platform, which is great. So we've been supporting them in many ways.
And they've been down here before previously doing collections.
And you'll see them on Saturday when we've got a stand. So if you listen to this before Saturday's game is over, please do stop by. Spencer and I, with the Two-Faced Twins, you want to meet the artist, Worthing Food Foundation will be down there. We accept card. We can accept cash. We prefer if you could pay by card. We've got our sum up machine and we'll have some stock there. If you're not, if you're listening to this from afar, we have got it available. It will be released on Sunday online, Sunday or Monday, and we can post it to you wherever you are in the world. I know we've got some international fans. I think Callum Keeley's family might still be listening. I might want one down in Australia. Might cost a little bit. Probably cost the same price as the shirt. I might take it on one of my work trips or something. It might be cheaper. But without further ado, Spencer, I think we should speak to Two-Faced Twins, Stella and Gemma, who joined us to discuss the project and the new supporter shirt.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Spencer, we decided to do another T-shirt, haven't we?
Something a bit special this time.
Yeah. I mean, the first three were not too bad, were they? The blue one was the unlucky one, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, no one talks about blue T-shirts or blue kits anymore, do they? But this one, this has got blue.
It's got purple.
It's got red. We can go on for this
forever. We're going forever. Anyway, Spencer and I obviously launched the three T-shirts over the past year and a bit. We wanted to come up for our fourth one, a little bit of a, how would you say, something a little bit different, didn't we? You're a big fan of viral shirts anyway, Spencer. You love the classic football shirts website anyway, don't you? So you always look.
Yeah, love a crazy themed shirt, which then led to an idea over a pint or two of
or three.
Something we could do.
So these two lovely ladies sitting with us right now, Stella and Gemma from the Two-Faced Twins, local artists. What did you think when two random, like, football supporting fans pops up in your inbox asking to do a shirt? Welcome to the Rebel Yell Podcast and welcome to Rebel Yell and Worthing FC Sports Association. And firstly, thank you for allowing us to use your artwork for what I can say is probably one of the best looking shirts. I mean, who needs that Worthing shirt? We need the Rebel Yell shirt and the Two-Faced Twins shirts. So how did you feel about it when it came in? Just tell us a story from your side.
Yeah, so it was a while ago now when we first got the email, but we were definitely really excited as soon as we got that email because, one, we used to play football when we were kids. And I sometimes still play as well. So I have an interest in football as it is. But also, you know, we were born in Worthing. We've always lived in Worthing. So, yeah, we were really excited to be part of this. And I think we think that the football team is really a really important thing for the Worthing community. And we just love Worthing in general, really. So that's why most of our artwork is of Worthing. And we just were really excited by the idea of putting our artwork onto football shirts. Like, that's something we've always wanted to do anyway. So, yeah, it was really exciting for us.
Did you see sort of like, as Spencer and I said, like, you know, the sort of, there is a sort of culture at the moment of like viral football shirts, sort of a little bit different from the usual mainstream colours. Was that something that you saw because your artwork's so vibrant and vivid? Was that something why you thought it might look good on a football shirt anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. We've always kind of thought our artwork would look good on T-shirts in general. But the fact that it could be on a football shirt just excited us so much. I don't know why. Like, it just does. And also, like, the bright colours, I think it just lends itself really well to, yeah, to football shirts. I don't know. Do you have anything to say? Yeah, well, from my side, yeah, because I studied fashion and textiles, so I have a big interest in clothing. So that's one of our goals, is to have our own clothing range at some point. So we sort of feel like this was kind of like a first step. That's what got me really excited. I'm not necessarily like a football player or much of a football, really into football, but yeah, we loved the idea of turning our artwork into shirts. And we've tried it before, but it was sort of just the image just on the front of the shirt, So when you came up with the idea of doing them as football shirts and our artwork covering the whole t-shirt, it was just such a great idea, and they've just come out absolutely amazingly, and the colours are just so striking. And they're as bright as our artwork, which is just amazing.
Yeah. Well, that was really important to us. You know, that's why we approached you, because we wanted something colourful, something vibrant. And, you know, that's what your artwork is. It's what you're about. And, you know, we're delighted with how they've come out.
Yeah. We obviously, as we know, this process has been going on since what? It was around Easter, wasn't it? I think it was Easter Monday or sort of bank holiday weekend around that time, wasn't it? We popped to the shop to meet you girls for the first time, and we've had obviously problems with production. This is the second come because the first one, because one of the things you said to us is that if it's going on a shirt, you want the pop, because otherwise it would do a disservice to your artwork. Mm. So when you first saw them, when I first brought those samples down to the shop, what were your initial reactions?
God, yeah, I was the one who first saw it, and cool. I was amazed. because I just had no idea how they were going to come out, and because our colors are so vibrant, we never know how if you know the printer is going to achieve that, and it did. So yeah it was really good. What did you think?
So I didn't see them until I think like a week later, but you were raving about them. And yeah, I was actually really shocked when I first saw them, because
hopefully a good shock.
Definitely good shock. Yeah. Like I wasn't expecting them to look so good. Like the colours just really pop.
Hope everyone out there has a good shock as well when they see them in the flesh as well on Saturday.
So as someone that studied textiles and fashion, do we tick the box textiles and fashion on this one? Yeah. We'll just be a case study.
I would say so.
Let's just talk a little bit about yourselves anyway. So how did Two Face Twins, obviously we know why the name Two Face Twins, but how did it come about, you know, launching these vibrant artworks? I mean, I first came across it a couple of years ago, as you know, I've got one of your fairing prints of Bluebird Cafe in our house at home, which was gifted to us. It was amazing. It just looks so good in our living room. So how did the journey start then for you girls?
So it started about 6 years ago. We've both been sort of artists, but as individuals. We'd never created a piece of artwork together before we started our business. And about 6 years ago, we were wanting to start a business together, and we were just trying to think of, ideas. And then it was Stella that thought of the idea of becoming twin artists. And just as soon as she said that idea, we thought, yes, like that, this is going to work, because we're both really artistic, but we've both got very different skills. So Stella does, on each piece of artwork, Stella does the black and white illustration, and then I do the colours. So we put our skills together, and it just works really well. My colours come from sort of studying fashion and textiles. Stella's drawings just really inspire me to... I don't know whether they inspire me for the colours, but they're really sort of satisfying to colour. Mm. And because we live in a seaside town, you get sort of the really bright colours from like the seaside. So that's sort of where I get my inspiration from.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I mean, we've seen, you know, what prints, top of my head, you got a few of the dome, a couple of different things. I mean, obviously, we had three different colour schemes for this shirt, didn't we? And, you know... It's amazing, I think, how some, not that they looked bad, but I think some look better than others on print. Like, this is why we chose this one, because we thought it had the best, you know, the sun, was it the sunset one that was the sort of pinkier one that we thought looked good?
Yeah, there was a night one.
And there was the nighttime one was too dark, we thought, didn't we?
This is the one where, to us anyway, the colours really popped.
Also with this one, it, obviously it has the birds on the back.
Yeah, that's important.
So that was like really important to us. I think that's really, really nice. Yeah.
So one of the things for Spencer and I was we've done the t-shirts in the past. They've just been sort of Worthing FC chants, which are some of the most popular chants. But we thought what we wanted to do is a community thing, because one of the big things about this is what we need to announce to everyone, which you've seen on our social medias, is percentage of the shirt sales are going to Worthing Food Foundation. So we've really kept it in the community with local artists, the local football club. So what was it for you girls that you thought, like, you get these collaboration requests, why, what made it, you think, actually, yeah, we'll do one this time?
It was just a really unique idea that we had never been approached with before. Yeah, it was the fact that it's in our local community, and Worthing Football Club is such a big part of Worthing, and we've grown up here. So it was sort of a mixture of the fact that it was in our community and in our hometown, it was doing something completely different, having our artwork on shirts, which is what we thought about doing before anyway. And yeah, Stella's got like a keen interest in football anyway. So it's just sort of, yeah, there were lots of sort of positive things that we really liked about the idea.
Yeah.
Well, we were delighted when we got the
I was like, am I reading things here? Like, they've actually turned around and said, yeah, hang on a second. What's going on here? Yeah, you know. Yeah, we'd like, but no, we think it's just been a great collaboration. Hopefully one that we can last for a long time, because, you know, we've got 200 e-shirts on sale, as you know, at the moment. They're on sale from Saturday at the Dover game and online afterwards. They cost £35, a proceed which goes to Worthing Food Foundation. And I thought Worthing Food Foundation was probably a good, there's a few charities in local area, I think, but I think we've worked with them before in the club, and you girls straight away said, yeah, great idea. And I think they've been really, really sort of, I guess, a bit overwhelmed, because I think WFCSA Travel, which obviously the coach travel we donate a percentage of the ticket sales from them to Worthing Food Foundation. So I think it works really well, doesn't it? Mm.
Definitely. Yeah, we were really happy when you said about that charity. Yeah, definitely.
So I think it's time to ask now, if these go well, could we see a second shirt?
I was actually just thinking. I was actually going to say, when you said, like, hopefully this could be like a future thing, like, maybe we could do more shots.
We would absolutely love it.
There's an exclusive.
There's an exclusive. We always have exclusives on the Rebel Yell podcast. Stella and Gemma, it's been so good having you on. Thank you so much for this. As I said, allowing us to use your artwork. You know, it's a fantastic collaboration. We think they look fantastic. I think the fans are going to love them. It's going to be interesting to see the feedback when you have them on display in your shop as well, because the shop's on the seafront. Where's your shop? Do you want to tell the listeners?
So we've got an art gallery, and it's opposite Steen Gardens. So it's in a seafront shelter. So if you're standing in Steen Gardens and look towards the sea, then you'll see our art gallery.
It's got a cracking coffee shop next to it.
Yeah, it has.
I think that's the only reason I wanted to come down and meet you. It's just for the coffee next door. But thank you so much. Guys, please do purchase these shirts. You know, it's it helps a great charity. You know, we've put a lot of, I wouldn't say blood, sweat and tears, but it's been a long process to get to where we are now, and we hope you like it as much as we do. But girls, thank you so much. And look forward to, what was it, a fruitful future with the two-faced twins.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Oh, and just say, what's your social media account? So, like,
so we've got Instagram, which is 2_faced_twins. We've got a website, which is twofacedtwins.com, and we're on Facebook as well, which is 2faced_twins.
Thanks. And to purchase the shirts, it's rebelyell.live or merch.rebelyell.live.
Bump into us on
Saturday.
Yeah, the Dover game. Girls, thank you so much. Yeah, cheers.
Thank you.
The Rebel Yell podcast.
Really good to speak to Two-Faced Twins. You know, really nice to hear their story and open up. And, you know, it's great to think that, you know, they do, and I'm sure they do get approached by lots of companies to do collaborations. And the fact they thought it'd be really good to have a football shirt with their design on. And I think, you know, I know it's blowing our own trumpet, but they do look banging, don't they?
Yeah.
They really do.
It's unreal that they, you know, they wanted to work with us, work with Worthing Football Club. You know, I think they see, you know, what we are within the community. They're really bought into that. They're Worthing girls. Obviously we've got the charitable part as well. And it's great to see them, hear them so excited.
Yeah, no, it is. It is indeed. Spencer, well, I think great time to sell them, because the club's on a high. We're playing Dover at the weekend. As anyone, you don't need to be hiding sort of in the back garden, knowing the sort of history, the short history of Dover past year. I don't want to go into that, because it was not a nice scene. We saw the first home game of our National League campaign last season, National League South. But there is a little bit of history. It is segregated this week, which I'm glad, because if those fans in exclamation, in apostrophes, can't turn up, they're not going to be able to get anywhere near the Worthing fans. But it's been a good, since we last recorded, it's been a good month, hasn't it?
Just amazing results, amazing performances. Pinch has brought in some cracking new signings that have slotted straight in. It's happy days.
And even so, he's our model fantastic. He's our sexy model himself, Danny Cashman. He's just on fire at the moment. And
he is, but he's not the only one. Class has really stepped up in class. He really has. He's really come into his own as well.
And
it's been fantastic. And, you know, perhaps we need to get Danny modelling some more shirts, because
I think we might sell them just for that.
He's natural model.
Do you remember the Abercrombie models that you stand outside the shop? I think Danny Cashman should be the next Abercrombie.
He's a natural model.
Yeah.
He took no encouragement whatsoever to model the shirt.
Abercrombie and Rebel and something like that.
And he's got himself goal of the month since modelling.
Fantastic. Yeah, that goal of the month. I mean, where we stand behind the goal in the shed end, you couldn't see it because there was some guy filming it, wasn't it? I remember saying, I didn't even see that goal. The guy had his camera.
Saw it through the guy's phone.
Yeah, saw it through the guy's phone. But me and Bigsy were standing there and you could see it just curl into that corner. It's like, amazing. And to do it twice over Torquay, who, as we said, literally were nearly in the Football League in the playoff final 2 seasons ago with former player, goalkeeper Supre, who's now at Maidstone, scoring that equaliser in injury time. And then they nearly went up to Football League and now we're down. You know, it's crazy. And, you know, you saw from the fans' reactions and afterwards,
their fans turned out in big numbers, expecting an easy performance and a win, I think. And they went home.
They
taught
did,
a lesson.
Yeah. But talking about that part of the world going down that way, you had an interesting journey to Truro, didn't you? I mean, it's the longest one of the season. So playing at Plymouth Park when they've just literally just changed to Taunton, haven't they? Ground share with Taunton for the rest of the season. But it was a long old journey, but made it worthwhile.
It was one of the classic away
days. Well, we'll talk about the return journey a bit, but when we went 1-0 down already, did you think, oh, for God's sake, literally?
We were playing really well, to be fair, and them taking the lead was against the run of play. But our man Cashman, again, scored just before half-time. And then I think that really then swung the game because the second half we were unreal on a pitch that can only be described as a ploughed field.
Yeah, it looked from the highlights. It looked a little bit tractor.
Like a tractor had been thrown.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that and tell us about the coach, Jan. I mean, there's probably things you can't tell us about
the coach. There's a lot I can't say.
But those that aren't on there, we're going back to the old days of sharing
So, you know, we had a few players, all the coaching staff on the coach, and it was a party bus on the way back. It really was. The beer was flowing. There was a few songs on the coach PA.
Can you repeat any of the songs? Probably not.
Somebody did a really good rendition of Robbie Williams' Angels. I'm now trying to think who it was.
He'll come to you.
Jack Woodham.
Jack Woodham.
The guy can actually sing.
Woodham. There we go. And I heard Gareth got serenaded by a couple of the management.
He did, but we won't say anymore.
We won't talk about that. And then I think one of the games I want to touch on, and we'll touch on it because I'm not going to ask Kinch about it, but Slough.
Interesting game.
I'll say it. I don't know what that line I was on.
I'm not even sure if it was the linesman. I think it was the referee.
Do you know what I think? After watching the highlights, I think the decisions were right. They were offside. But why are you not waving your flag? That's what I didn't get.
Well, I think it was a case of the referee overruling the linesman. The linesman was happy to let things go. And then the ref was instructing him, I think you need to be putting your flag up.
Good old conflab and stuff like that, wasn't it? And it was just,
Not seen it before.
To have three. So we had two goals disallowed and a red card that was overturned. But it's quite a few people were saying, okay, the decision was reversed because obviously it wasn't offside. So it wasn't a red card. But what happens if that player, that bad tackle, if he'd broken Ollie's ankles, you can't reverse that
But this
decision.
Is a common argument now, isn't it? With players who are through offside, but they're not offside until they've played the ball, in which time somebody could be out injured.
No, exactly. And that's where I think it needs a little bit more clarity, this, and because I think it's... I'm lucky it didn't turn out the wrong way, but it was a 1-1.
But it was a draw from the jaws of a victory.
Yeah, exactly. We could have probably taken that and it was gutting because we were down and we could have had that back. But anyway, it is what it is. Averley, good result, good strong result against Averley, 3-0 win.
Again, really, really good top performance. Great to see the new lad come in and score. It's great to see Fage and Felix down the right, linking up amazingly. Everything we were doing was down the right because those two guys were just unreal.
Yeah, since Fudge's come into the team, he seems to have just slotted in really well, hasn't he? Yeah. It's been great.
And we say, don't we? Hinch seems to know how to spot a player.
He does. And one of the games I enjoyed, and I know you enjoyed it for food reasons, was Tunbridge, because I think most we see some weird things in non-league, don't we? Like food and drink. Yeah, see these different... I mean, I'm still going on at Barry about my seaside burger, which you just roll your eyes at every time. Come on. Fish, chips, mushy peas in a bun. You can't get wrong with that. And it's the seaside burger.
The Hampton and Richmond kebab took some...
Oh, and your kebab at Hampton and Richmond. And they had a pizza stand there, didn't they? Which we had for a bit and it never really worked here. But what was it so good about Tunbridge?
Oh, the loaded fries.
Loaded fries.
Loaded fries. The queue was huge.
Yeah, I think you spent about half an hour in the first half.
It's worth the wait. It was amazing.
But it set you up nicely to see a 1-0 hard-fought victory.
Really hard
fought. A missed penalty right at the end as well. I mean, you thought, really? God, like, well, that was... Yeah.
I think that ball's still in orbit somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. It's one of the new Starlink satellites, isn't it? Up in space for Elon Musk or something. But that was just, I think, it's like, it reminds me last season of, do you remember Farnborough away? I think you were at that. It was a Tuesday night game. And that was just such a hard fought.
Yeah,
1-0,
that was right at the end of the season
solid,
when we were still really trying to push to get in the playoff.
I think it is. Well, I think without further ado, we should speak to Adam Hinchelwood. But wait a minute.
Last minute change.
That's not Adam Hinchelwood. Gary Elphick's been tagged in because Hinch is feeling a little bit under weather. So I think, first of all, without further ado, welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast. You said it wasn't here the first time you're at a club, so new thing for you. But, you know, nice to have you on, mate. Welcome. I guess, first of all, how's it been since being back at the club?
It's been an eye-opener, to be fair. I can't believe how much the club's progressed on and off the pitch. Fantastic facilities. The crowd base is growing. And it's been going from strength to strength since I've been here. Obviously it's been a little bit up and down during the season. Well, it felt like that, but to be second and looking strong,
it's not been too bad the last few games.
I just think there's been a couple of key personnel changes. Sort of like the goalkeeper Josh has come in and has competed with Rocco, and also I think Jack Wadham, who I call Sergio Wadham from Bournemouth.
he's great.
Class. He's brilliant, and he's, for me, he's like an unsung hero. The amount of ground he covers, especially in defensive areas, is really up the back line. And we've kept a few clean sheets because of it, I feel. So it's been good.
Well, yeah. I think what we said, Hinch said in last month's podcast that he wanted to bring Jeffries in just to give a bit of competition to Rocco because it was one of those positions that wasn't really challenged. Do you feel by him doing that, it's actually brought the sort of level of goalkeeping and expertise up a bit and been better for the squad in general?
Yeah, 100%. I think me, Inch, and the rest of the staff, we had a discussion about what we could improve on the last campaign. And especially when you went into the playoffs, we had the goalkeeper issue. The squad probably wasn't as strong in depth. And we said this year round, there can't be any excuses. We have to, if we're going to get into these playoffs, we've got to have that depth within the squad. And I feel that we've done that now. And I feel that the dressing room is almost sort of self-policing, whereby if you're not quite at it, there's someone there ready now to take your shoes. And you can just tell, like, even with Dan Cashman, like, the last month, he's been unbelievable. His work rate, he's been a completely different player to the one that come in the building. And all these little signs is just coming to the right time.
Yeah, I'm terrible with stats, but, you know, last season, we had something like the second or worst defence in the league.
Yeah, well, I think, to be honest with you, for me, it's been very tough, sort of even coaching this defensive structure, because the way we play, there is a risk and reward element. You know, we like to sort of play the ball out from the back. But to be honest with you, we've addressed that. We're playing with a slightly higher line. The spaces behind the ball, they're slightly tighter together. We've done a little bit of work on it and I feel that it's paid dividends. So, it's all sort of just trying to better yourself, me bettering myself and helping Adam the best I can and the rest of the staff helping me as well. And it's been brilliant.
Yeah, no, I mean, we look at the results this month and, not going to lie to you, Gary, like, it has been frustrating at times, the amount of goals that have been shipped to the back at points of the season. You know, as we said to Hinch every month, it's been rollercoaster almost sometimes. Mm. So we go and smash one team, wicked result, and then ship for the next game.
Yeah.
But this month, since we last recorded, it's been pretty solid defensively. And I think, as Spencer said, I think Jeffrey's coming in has really, you know, he feels not giving a disservice to Rocco at all, because Rocco's fantastic, but we feel that he's commanded his area really well for someone that's been in a short team, and just the way he organises the defence in front of it. You must have seen must have been quite impressed with the fact, like, you know, the defence over the past sort of month has been really good.
Yeah, it's been, so in Josh and Jack, although they're relatively young, it's been like bringing in two men. And that's the thing that's impressed me most about them both, is their leadership qualities. So they both lead in different ways, but they're both just as effective. And I feel that now we're keeping a starting 11 that's been similar the last few weeks, which has helped with continuity, which maybe earlier on in the year when the games were coming up thick and fast with injuries we had to chop and change slightly. But I just feel now that I'm coming here on a Saturday, we're going to midweek games, and I have a bit of confidence about us.
Yeah.
And that's been brilliant.
And to lose a player like Joe Rye to injury.
Yeah.
But then to have Alfie Young come back as if he's literally never been away.
No, well, I've done a preview before the Dover game. And for me, he could be the signing of the season because he's been an absolute masterstroke. Because I don't think if we didn't have Alfie Young to come on at Tonbridge Angels, I don't think we would have won that game.
Oh.
And now he's in formidable form. And once again, dressing room self policing. Now Joe Rye's got to do everything he can now to try and dislodge Alfie Young. And this is the beauty of competition. You know, the standards are set within, and that's been brilliant.
There's always going to be footballers that are not happy, you know, because if you're a footballer, you want to play. Bottom line, you want to play. So there's always going to be people disheartened, but then it pushes them to work harder to say, right, he's got my place. I want to work them there. And that's what I guess you want at the club, because there's been times over the years that there have been positions that haven't been them much competition. And, you know, it's great to see that from a fan's point of view.
Well, I think Adam's honest, and that's a big thing. If you're honest with players, then they can't really say any different. And don't be bitter, be better. And that's so true in football. Like, there'll be someone now that's probably on the bench or not even in the squad, and they might become the hero of the season. And that's because of their mentality, that they want to get back in our team. And as I say, that for me is a successful team.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked tonight on the pod about the Torquay game, doing a double over Torquay here, a club on the verge of the Football League 2 years ago. And, you know, as from the management side of things, how did that feel? I mean, I know every game, Hinch always says every game's a game. It's not like
every game's the same.
Every game's the same. But you must have a little bit of a smile on your face when you've done over Torquay, who thought they were going to walk into this league and absolutely dominate, and they're doing almost like the opposite.
Yeah, it's a little landmark for the club again, I think, especially for the fans. I think Inch is probably right. Our staff, we just look at it from week to week, especially with how we've been slightly inconsistent earlier on in the season. So but I think as a fan, I think you can really enjoy, like, as I said, like 4 or 5 years ago, if someone said that Wortham would do the double over Torquay,
you
think it'd be cuckoo. So that's, once again, it's another sign of intent from us.
Yeah. I know Spencer enjoyed it. Did you enjoy Truro away, especially the coach journey home?
That's fantastic. Yeah, Bard's the conditioning coach. He was like a drag queen from Blackpool, I think, coming up and down the coach.
That's a thought I don't feel so, out of my head.
Yeah,
but, you know,
little lad, high heels on,
you
coming
got dragged
up.
Dragged in for
Got dragged in for a little solo. We serenaded Gareth and things like that. So, but no, look, it's at the end of the day as well, it's important that we do remember that we are a non-league club and we have that involvement with the fans and the fans' involvement with us. And if we can, you know, all go in the same direction, that's even better.
Well, we've got Weymouth again in a couple of weeks. I'm hoping I'm not missing out this time. I missed out on Truro. So I'm hoping a good result there. We can maybe get a bit more karaoke going on our way home, because they bring back the old days. You know, it's like the days when we were like doing really well. And we remember, I think our first as fans, one of our first away on the coaches was Brighton Six. We used to like get on the drive ourselves, and we got on the coach one day and we loved it, didn't we? And it's kind of like just something you don't get anywhere else, do you?
Yeah, it's a little bus tour on its own, isn't it? Like a magic tour.
Special.
So all good.
So coming up, Dover, Weymouth away in Braintree in the next few weeks. I'm sure you want to avenge the Braintree result earlier on in the season, but out of those, Dover's a bit of a tasty tie after what happened last year here. I know when you weren't here, you're still at Hastings, but, you know, I mean, there must be a little bit of a sort of want to sort of put it right.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is setting standards from within, and we'll be competing against complacency. You know, they're bottom of the league, they'll be fighting for their lives, but we've got to turn up, and it could be our toughest game of the season because they might bank up behind the ball. And as we know, Nick, sometimes when teams sit deep, it can be frustrating for us, and we can lose that little bit of concentration at the back, concede an early goal and things like that. So for me, it'd actually be a massive marker of where we was and where we've come to. So I think we've got to be, you know, really at it from the first minute to the last minute. And and I think, as I say, that'd be a real good sign for us if we're going in the right direction.
We're looking forward to it, aren't we, this month? Just to think, you know, we record this every month. And this time next month, you know, that's when you think there's only a few weeks left of the season.
Business end.
It is the business end, So, Gary, you first time on the podcast with Rebel Yell, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, like you've already not been put enough on the spot by your gaffer tonight. An interesting fact about yourself. I know people know you're around the club, so think about something maybe people don't know.
Basically, my debut for Brighton, I've got sent off and my brother come on for me. So that's an absolute classic that I'll never live that one down.
That's a bit of a family.
Yeah, my dad didn't know whether to laugh or cry. So I think that's my claim to fame. So,
you must have a photo of that somewhere. Or like,
I've got me walking off and Tommy coming on doing INE. So obviously went on and had the career he had. So that's as big as it got for me. So.
Yeah. Well, Gary, thanks for stepping in the shoes of Hinch, and good luck for the rest of the month, and good to have you on the podcast.
What's up, man?
Yeah, good. good for the month ahead.
Great to talk to you guys. Yeah, lovely. Cheers. Thank you.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Why don't we go back to the owner again this month? Because George can't stay away. NBA, George
cannot keep it. He just won't leave us alone.
Do you know, obviously, I was away last week. Vicky messaged me and said, I've got George on not front door knocking. He wants to be on the podcast again. So talk to my agent. But George is always good. I love having him on the podcast. And, you know, after last month, great reception from him being on. We thought, why not ask him about how the season's going so far and if he's starting to dream. He's starting to dream. But over to you, George.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Well, we did say last month that we had you on for a while. I don't think we loved having you on so much, didn't we, Spencer?
Yeah,
ever since the MBE, can't
get
off.
It's got a bit of royalty, haven't we?
Another edge, doesn't it, to the pod?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, George, welcome back to the Rebel Yell Podcast for this edition. We're sitting pretty in second at the moment, aren't we? I mean, what's going on?
What is he doing?
He's working miracles.
I think the last time we were on, we were kind of win one, lose one, draw one. Now we have gone on a run of, what, 5 games unbeaten at the moment. 1-4, drawn one. So, yeah, going really well at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting times around the club. Everyone, and, you know, how do you see the rest of the season going?
I think it's still tight, isn't it? Really tight from second down to about 8th. So if anyone in that group manages to string a couple of wins together, it all changes again. So, yeah, I just hope that we can keep the momentum going. We're on a really good run of form. It seems like the front players have sort of clicked. I know we've got 2 new wingers in since then, but, yeah, hopefully they hit the ground running and we can, yeah, keep the form going.
Well, I mean, I thought, for me, Spencer, you probably agree, I think Torquay, to do double over Torquay, who only 2 years ago were in the National League playoff finals, got up to League Two. And we did them away at the beginning of the season. Yeah. Everyone thought, oh, my God, what's going on here? And we did them, what was it, 4-2 in the end? 4-2.
Well, it's an absolute schooling as well, both games, you know. Both games could have been bigger.
And Rebel Yell's sexiest model, Danny Cashmere, with that goal right at the end. It's got the February, January goal of the month, has it? I mean, when he got in. But, I mean, when you sort of, I mean, I guess you look back, say, when you first took over Worthing, you know, we were like in the Isthmian South East and, you know, teams like Torquay, I think, were in the Football League. Well, Yeovil were playing in the Championship and stuff like that.
I saw a stat 10 years ago, they were playing Brighton in some league. Yeah, we were playing whoever we were playing. But yeah, it seems like the golf is...
I mean, what I think is that you must be for an owner to come across and be like, I'm seeing my team beat Torquay convincingly, not just by one goal, but convincingly. A team that, to be fair to them, a lot of their fans online have said, you know, they thought they were going to school us this season, they were going to walk away with the league, and they haven't. And even when you look at it, really, we're only 10 points behind Yeovil. We've still got to play Yeovil. And as you say, anyone can beat anyone in this league, it seems. And Yeovil aren't too far apart. We beat Yeovil, they're 7 points. You know, funny things happen.
Yeah, what are they now? 9 points of a game in hand or something?
It's 10 points, for, I think, a game in hand.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're all in a good position. But, yeah, you've seen it happen before, and I think they lost their last one. I think they've drawn a couple recently as well, so you never know. But going back to the Torquay, that away game in the early part of the season was...
Well, I don't think any of us were expecting that, were we? As a fan...
And the beauty of that is, like, I remember going to that game and the Torquay fans were like, oh, who are Worthing? And then the repeat game a couple of weeks ago, everyone's like, we're going to lose today, Worthing are brilliant.
Well, it's like when we turned up on the coach and the first thing was the stewards, like, oh, is that it? One coach, like, yeah, you're not kind of League Two anymore with five, six coaches turning up. I think the whole thing shocked them a bit.
Yeah, it really changed a lot of people's minds. And and the teams we're playing this year, like, you talk to people in the, like, friends and stuff and who maybe don't follow Worthing. And they ask, oh, who are you playing this weekend? And you say someone like Torquay, like, oh, bloody hell, you play Torquay?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's surprised at how well Worthing are doing. And unless they come down and watch.
Have you started dreaming yet, though?
About what?
What do you think?
Promotion. No, not yet.
Because you are the owner, you know, but you're also a fan, whereas it's a different sort of thing because you speak to Hinch and he'll never say anything like that. He'll be like, no, I'm next game's next game, focus on next game. Whereas us as fans, when you're sitting pretty in second with, I think, 4 points ahead, and, you know, yes, we've still got a long way to go, but you do start thinking, hang on a second, in 6 weeks from now, well, by the time we record the next podcast, it's already March, and, you know, there's only a few weeks left, and hang on, if we're in the same position then, actually, you dare to dream. Do you sometimes find it hard to sort of...
I do, but cross I business kind of and never get too high. Like that, I mean, our job as off-the-pitch staff, if you like, our job is to make sure that the club is ready to go up regardless of whether it happens this year or next year, the year after that. So our focus is always make sure the ground's ready and the club's in a position where if we are in a position to take that jump, that we're ready. So that's always our focus. But yeah, as a fan, you're watching the games, you're like, yeah, you just pray that you're in amongst it come the end of the season. And yeah, what hopefully we are. I mean, I find it hard to believe with the teams that we've played, I'm not really scared of playing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Any of the teams, to be honest. No. So I'd like to think we're in the top seven come the end of the season. Hopefully the top three.
Yeah.
All being well. And then, go for the playoffs again.
So you mentioned the ground. You know, we've already seen massive improvements around the ground. You know, fantastic. We're all excited about the new stand going up.
Keep
the rain off their heads.
Yeah. It's called sort of trying to get around the maze as Woodside Road is tonight, trying to record this, trying to get to the boardroom. I don't know what way you came in, did you? What's going on here?
But
it must be exciting.
But yeah, exciting times off the pitch as well.
I can't wait for that stand to be done. Obviously, it was a shame. I mean, it was the right thing that had to come down. It wasn't fit for purpose anymore. But yeah, it'd be amazing to get that back up there and hopefully add to the atmosphere in the ground. You guys can get back behind the goal where you want to be and we want you. So yeah, can't wait for it to be done. It's going to look really smart.
I guess like what would be good, because that's going to be ready at the end of March, hopefully.
Yeah, mid-March.
And just in time for TNT Sports cameras to come to Woodside. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing for you. Like to think Worthing FC on paid for television, formerly BT Sports, now TNT Sports,
National TV.
It must be a little bit of a pinch me moment for you in that sort of like, and I know you tweeted about it the other day going, you're absolutely buzzing for it, as we all are.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we sell out Woodside Road that day, makes you look an absolute, you know, it will attract people. Hopefully it will attract more fans because people are like, oh, hang on, Worthing's are not too far from me.
Well, that's it. We're hoping that that will, well, firstly, it's amazing. I can't wait for the game. Obviously, have Woodside on TV, I think will be a spectacle. And hopefully a lot of people come out for it. It's on the Sunday, so you might get an even bigger crowd because there'll be
Sunday, less clashes if it's international weekend that weekend as well. So
hopefully it'll be a really good atmosphere here and really show off what Woodside's all about on the big screen. And yeah, I can't wait. I don't think that's ever happened before for Worthing. It's
We were hoping it would happen in the FA Cup, but that didn't
that was always the thing in years gone by. You hope for an FA Cup run and get on the TV.
I'm just looking forward to, I think you would say Spencer as well, I'm looking forward to seeing the players probably in their finest garms. They're probably going in their designer outlets right now, aren't they? Trying to get them fresh haircuts, walking through the gate and BT, TNT Sports.
And a massive pair of headphones.
And their little man bags.
Other headphones are available.
You know, like, it's about 50 Louis of aftershave.
Louis Vuitton wash bag.
I look forward to it. But no, I mean, that's just a sort of part of the club that's just grown, because obviously if we do go up, it's going to be, I mean, we've had National League streaming this season, which is not really too much of a thing. It's just one camera and, Pete loves it, obviously, because he gets his voice on National like streaming service. And I've seen his retweets a couple of times, hasn't he? And, I think Pigsy wants to get his flashing glasses as well. Like, you know, have you seen the glasses we've been wearing? Like, Ollie's glasses celebration.
Yeah.
So Pigsy got some light up flashing red glasses. We're still to get him on his face, but on a streaming service, it was zoomed in and it was Pigsy with the glasses on. So he wants that on the national stage as well now.
We're trying to get Ollie to wear them, but he's not up for it.
He was just a bit shy. So
it's a compliment though as well to the club. I mean, they only chose one game in our league to be on in that month, and we were chosen. So it is a great compliment for the club to be chosen to be the featured game. So I think it's going to be really cool.
Well, I think, you know, we've alluded to it in the podcast the last few months, is that Hinch's goal at the end of season last year, obviously I mean, amazing first season in the National League South to be in the playoff semi-final, get through the eliminator. Hinch obviously was gutted. You could tell he wears his emotion on his chest. You can tell when you don't want to speak to Hinch or, you know, he's like that. But he said, I want to go one better next year. If we don't get promotion, I want to at least finish second or third and avoid that first eliminator and get a home tie. Because, you know, as it stands right now, Worthing will avoid the eliminator, they'll get a home tie, and if they get to the final, get a home tie in the final. Now that must get the juices flowing as well to think about that. If you're not thinking about it from a sort of fan point of view, from a business point of view, and to see what the crowd would look like on a, we'd surely break attendance records that day as well if it got to that.
You would have thought so. I can't remember what the Braintree one was now.
It was over 2,000,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, it was over 2,000. So that, and that was an amazing atmosphere, wasn't it?
It was a really nice evening, remember? It's like one of those lovely warm sort of summer's evenings.
So it's good under the lights.
Yeah, it's all fun.
That's the way to do it. If you're going to get promoted, the way to, if you can guarantee it through the playoffs, that's the way to do it, because all the emotion. And yes, if we could get a home tie as well, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So thoughts, just before we wrap up, thoughts for the rest of the season, do you reckon we're going to avoid that eliminator? Is that what your goal is now? Do you think we could even pip Yeovil to the title? I mean, that would be unbelievable.
I find it hard to believe they're just going to drop enough points, unless we win every game, I think.
Have they had a bad run yet, though? Because
not particularly bad. I mean, they've dropped a few points recently.
It takes a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
And Ollie Pearce is on fire.
Yeah.
Can you get him clamped down to a new contract, please? Because we cannot lose Ollie Pearce.
We can't comment.
There we go. We've got a little bit of another exclusive there, a little tidbit. There we go.
From
Rebel Yell and the Weber Sports Association, all the other fans, please get him contracted down next season. We can't miss that Ollie. How good has he been, though?
Like, incredible, isn't it? I don't know exactly how many.
Is 26 it, now, I think it is.
26, but I mean, like, how many games in a row has he scored now? It's crazy. Yeah, it's like 2 months in a run.
But I think what a few of the fans have said, like, you know, he obviously wasn't playing at the beginning of the season. I think almost Hinch maybe does that to fire him up a bit. Like, you know, because he thinks he should be playing.
He's one of them that you need to get fired up almost every game.
He's a slow starter each season. And I think that's the way of getting fired up.
We had a lot of new players, didn't we, over the summer come in. So Hinch was obviously just tweaking things, trying to find the right system that works for all of them. And he seems to have, come across it now. And seen in the last few months how many goals as a club we've been scoring. But him in particular, he's been absolutely on
new
fire.
New signing slotting straight in as if they've been here forever as well.
The wingers have obviously both scored in their debut, so that's good for their confidence. I think there's still more they can do, obviously getting used to the system and off the ball stuff and where to be when we've got the ball, but they'll pick that up, I'm sure, in no time.
Well, George, good to have you back on, Mr. MBE. Have you had a date yet?
No, not for the NBA. No.
Well, I guess with Charles' recent news, and it might be King.
I don't know.
Well, it looks like you'll probably have Prince William then, I guess, if anything.
You said I'd quite like Prince William.
So he's a football fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have a bit more of a chat with him, hopefully.
Get him to listen to the podcast.
Take his shirt with me.
Take one of these shirts. Yeah. Imagine him now, like George Dow gets presented, and he's got one of the Two Faced Twin shirts. I'd love you for that.
I'll wear it.
Or at least Will's one on the back. Oh, Kane Will's a shirt. Get Kane Will's a shirt. Give it to him.
Will's.
Yeah, there we go. But there we go. George, thank you.
Cheers, guys. We'll see you soon, mate.
Cheers. Thank you.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
And thanks there to George Dow. Always a good interview with George, isn't it, Spencer?
We love George.
Yeah, we do love George.
MBE.
Baby daddy. Well, we can say the men have had a good month. The women have had quite a good month. Six games in a row winning. But unfortunately, that little blot on their paper about the Sussex Senior Cup.
We can say they reached the final.
And
they're not going to play in the final.
They're not going to play the final. But they convincingly got to that final, didn't they? Which makes it even more disappointing, doesn't it? Because you watched that game. You went with Mike and Ange and Jerry, and you really enjoyed it. And so it was good on really tough conditions.
Everyone would have been looking forward to a cup final.
But it's not to be.
It's not to be.
But from what you've seen of the women's team over the past year, there hasn't been many sort of games at home. I think QPR this Sunday is going to be the first game since December. But you must be quite looking forward to seeing the women playing under lights again. But they have been sort of hit by a few injuries, a few changes in the squad. But they're still
picking up
there.
The results.
I think they're third at the moment with they're 5 points behind MK Dons. And, or is it AFC Wimbledon? MK Don. No, Wimbledon. Wimbledon. One of those. One club once upon a time. And then Norwich just in front.
Don't ever get those confused with Wimbledon.
No, don't get cards. Yeah, I'll get cold off. Or Johnny Jack's still playing for them. But I think, you know, again, it's going to be a strong challenge. John's got a good bunch of players there, and I think they could be well up there. We haven't spoken to him for a couple of months because really after sort of that, there wasn't really much to talk about after they only had two games, I think, in December and, you know, by the time we recorded. But from what I'm seeing, it could be a very exciting end to the season.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, a lot of concentration on the men and how well the men are doing, but can say exactly the same for the women.
Can you imagine a sort of double celebration? I always think of that. It'd be nice. They've done it once, that let's do it again. But without further ado, let's join John Donoghue for a little roundup of the past couple of months and his thoughts going forward and some of the new signings.
Over to you, Don.
Don John.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rebel Yell Podcast, John Donoghue. I will press record this time. We haven't had you on for a couple of months. Sorry about that. It's your fault for training at Worthing Leisure Centre, so I blame you. Don't blame me, all right? Is that all right?
That's
yeah,
all right.
So, but 6 wins in a row. Didn't play many games at home in December, if any at all, did you? So
right at the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've just been away all the time.
It must have been nice to be back on the Woodside Road pitch for a bit and to be playing so well after a bit of a gap as well.
It will be. So obviously QPR on the weekend. Mm-hmm. That's quite exciting. But yeah, we've just been away all the time. And I'm not actually as old as I look. It's all the journeys up and down the motorway. I'm only 25. But
21, I thought.
Yeah, no, but it's good. Players have been playing really well and we've coped with quite a few injuries as well. So we've had like top goal scorer out for a while and second top goal scorer out for a while. So yeah, so the players have been excellent.
Yeah, also one of the decisions I saw that obviously Neves moved on now. Yeah. What was the reason behind that? Was it just to get more game time and stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't getting as much game time. But to be fair, she had quite a few knocks, quite a few injuries. So a lot of the time she was coming back from injury and we were trying to work with her to get her on. And I think she just thought, I'll get some more game time straight away. So we're really pleased for her that she is doing that because she's a lovely girl, great player as well.
She interviewed very well on the podcast, didn't she? She was very forward. It's very good. I know Spencer enjoyed it. He went to New Haven away in the cup with Ange and Mike and Jerry, didn't you? And you had a good one.
Yeah, really, really good performance. Really tricky conditions.
Yes.
The wind was
it was really windy,
something else. Yeah. Quite an exposed ground there at New Haven. Then obviously there was the disappointment afterwards of being thrown out.
Yeah.
So what's happened there?
I should have known because in most cup competitions there has to be some sort of eligibility. So because we jumped straight into the semi-final, we didn't really look that the players that we were playing, some of them hadn't played 3 games. Because we were in the semi-final and all of them had been signed for a huge number of months. But unfortunately, the players that we chose to start, they hadn't been getting in our team. So we thought to support them, we would play them as starters in that game. To give them a little bit of a thank you for your sort of perseverance. So we actually, you would say, actually played some players that haven't played a huge amount of games. So we had our players who played lots of games on the bench. When we recognised that, we contacted the FA the next day and said, look, we've done this. You can see we haven't done it to try to gain an advantage because the rule really is there to say you get to a semi-final or final, you can't just sign a load of players on so you can win.
Loads of players who are step up on what you'd normally have.
So we just said, look, can you not please punish our players for our mistake that had actually been committed to us for a number of months, been in the squads, but not played a lot of games. So we wanted them to have the opportunity to play, but rules are rules.
Have you appealed it or can you appeal it? Or like,
well, no, we just had to,
just accept
we just had to say what our stance was, what was on it. And,
so a bit of a learning curve there because it was we were looking forward. It's a shame because I know the fans were looking forward to a cup final because the men's team are out of every cup at the moment. We're looking forward to the tune of women on. But now I guess you go full focus on the league.
Yeah.
Are you quite positive that you'll be right up there at the end of the season with the squad? Because we've got a fantastic squad that just seems to be playing really well, scoring goals. They've really gelled as a team. You've had, like the men's team, you've had players come and go. And, you know, there's always that risk of like, you know, maybe not gelling or being as, but from what I know, Spencer's been to a lot more games than I have in the last few months, but it's, you've said that they've really sort of gelled and they
play as a team in and off the pitch. And like you say, the players you've brought in, you know, you move the selection around and whoever's out there, that 11 on the day always performs.
Yeah. Well, we got a, got a squad that you can rotate around, and the performances have been, I suppose, been sustained. So we've been pretty consistent. your answer to your question in terms of will we be up there at the end, I'd like to say yes. We're going for a stage where we have had a few whacks, but we have added a couple more players, and I think they're next door getting green screen shots in at the moment.
I heard a bit of laughter going on when I went and used the
getting the shots there. So we'll be able to introduce those this week. But yeah, we've had to do that because we've probably got about 5 injuries at the moment, and you would say they were quite key players.
So when you say this week, would it be by tomorrow, by the time the podcast comes out, can you say? Or would it be Sunday reveal?
Yes, yeah. Okay,
so do you want to maybe go into a bit of detail with them?
Well, one is called Eleanor Keegan. So okay. She was at Chatham. So we brought her in to have, she wanted a look at us. We had a look at her. So it was good. Their manager suggested that might be the case. So she signed. And then we've got a player called Kate Oakley, who is a registered player with Lewis. Okay. She was in their first team squad, so professional squad. And she's coming in to play for us. So that'll probably be a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks' time. She's just recovering a little bit from an injury. So
when you push forward a player for us next month, you know to push forward for.
Exactly.
There we go. Exactly. We got professional football on here now. Yeah. But you happy that it's bolstered the squad in areas that you need bolstering, and you think that's the addition of these two players is going to push?
Definitely, really, yeah. Definitely. We don't know how long Becky Barth's going to be out for. She's got
big loss, lots of goals.
Yeah, lots of goals. Unfortunately, she's done something to her back, and it keeps flaring up. So it's near enough pinned down what it is, but it's not a case of you can work through it. You've got to let it settle. So how long it takes to settle, we don't really know.
No, I'm just looking outside and seeing the rain pouring down even more, which you must be absolutely buzzing for, about to get out there and train
in
that weather.
Nice,
next sort of QPR this Sunday,
yeah.
Sports Association committee meeting, AGM's happening, so it'll be a bigger crowd down. We're looking forward to coming seeing you playing afterwards. Yeah. Great to see a name like QPR playing at Woodside Road. Yeah. What are you expecting from the game?
Well, they're just below us in the league, so the one below us in the league, so they're in fourth. They've been scoring quite a few goals, and obviously if they're in that position, they're not a bad team. So we went to their place and we played really well and won. So hopefully we can keep that performance level up and get another successful game.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it, John. Thanks for joining us as per usual.
No worries.
Enjoy that training, wet weather training. Is that what you call it now, wet weather training?
Wet weather training.
Yeah, a bit of cold. There we go. Not warm weather training they do at this time of year.
Always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice. Cheers, John. Thank you.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
So one of the things that have happened over the past couple of months is Aaron Racine's announced his retirement. I mean, Spencer, we probably, when he first got injured, I think we probably thought the end was nigh, sadly, because he has had the same injury before. And when we found out, I mean, I had mixed emotions because, you know, I think when I look back at my time in being a Worthing fan, sitting in Worthing, he's been one of the players that's been so sort of central to the squad I've watched. And he was such an important player as our captain. He led us to the title. And, you know, the squad, the defence, he was such an important, which I think sometimes since he's been injured, I mean, it's been better of late, but I think we've missed him in the back. Yeah. I was gutted because I think, you know, I'm sure we won't see the last of him, but Aaron Racine was such a big part of the club.
He's a big part of the club. He's part of the furniture. You know, he's been on the journey, as you could call it. You know, players like Aaron and Joel, you know, they've been with us, seen us through, and you know, he's such a big part of the club on it and off the pitch. You know, he's a guy that everyone knows, speaks to.
Yeah.
You know, he's a real character, real leader for for everybody. So it's a big loss, but hopefully we'll still see him around the place. And he's still got a lot to add to Worthing in the future.
I know Jacko was quite a big fan of him. I know he was always saying Jacko, when he first got injured, he said, I reckon that will be the end of his career. You know, he had rumours about it. And I think when you get to that sort of age, you've got a young family, he's got to think about the future, really, hasn't he? Because, you know, I think if he had the other injury again, it came back and he got injured again. We look what happened to Alex Parsons. I mean, I don't think you could get another unlucky footballer, you know, the same injury twice and pretty much beginning of two seasons.
And, you know, it's one thing what the heart thinks, isn't it? It's another what the head says.
Well, I think it's time to sit down with Aaron, Captain Fantastic. I think it was right to give him a good send-off on the podcast. We've had him on before. He's been fantastic. But, you know, good to talk about his career and his highs and lows and, you know, how he's handling this injury and, you know, retirement. So over to you, Aaron.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Captain Fantastic,
Aaron Racine, back on the podcast. I mean, last time we had you on was when we won the title, wasn't it?
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah,
years ago. It's only 2 years.
A couple of years ago. Feels like that long ago. I wish we could be meeting in better circumstances, because from, I think we can say on behalf of the fan base, when we heard the news that you were announcing your retirement, we're gutted. And you've been missed already a season. You know, you will be missed in the future. I mean, you've been, we've seen you around the club quite a lot since it's happened. But just tell me like the whole timeline of it. So when was it you first got the injury?
October 7th was the day I got the injury. Straight away knew it was something serious. So I've done it before. So I thought, yeah, this could be it. And then after that, just switched off. Couldn't do anything until we had results from a scan. So the next port of call was just trying to get a scan done. Got the scan. Results got sent back to Sam, the physio at the club. And he rung me and he said, basically, yeah, you've done your ACL again. So my first thought straight away, and that was probably a month after doing it, so sometime mid-November. And then straight away I thought, ah, oh, that's retirement. Fourth ACL, you don't come back from that. And then it sort of settled in and I started thinking about it, I was thinking, I'll be easy now. I've done it three times. Well, it can't be that hard now. Mm. And I thought, oh, it's only a 9-month recovery. I could do that, back playing by Christmas next year, and all that stuff. And then when I saw the consultant, he just basically said he wasn't quite equipped to do the job because it was quite complicated, and he sent me to a specialist in Hove. And that's when it was like, it became real. Mm. After I saw him, he said, you know, it's two operations, it's going to be about a 15, 16-month recovery, all this stuff. And then that moment again, I thought, oh, that's it, it's done now. And then from looking back on my first reaction, I was like, no, let it sink in for, you know, a couple of weeks, and we'll see how we evaluate after that. And then everything just didn't really quite make sense. I mean, the first thing, those that have had an ACL injury or reconstruction and come back from surgery, it's mentally tough, but physically as well. You need to dedicate so much time. If you want to come back fit, come back fitter, come back playing well, and then come back obviously trying to stop it from happening again, it takes so much out of you. And I remember doing it for the last three times, and I was doing rehab every day from like 9 till 4 straight away after the operation. And in the situation I'm in now, working full time, I've got two young children, honestly, I have no time to do any of the rehab or to do it properly.
As a part-time player, it's just not the hours in the day, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. It just didn't add up. And that was one of the things I'm thinking, well, if I do it and try and come back playing, it's going to be a half-hearted attempt at rehab. Mm. That doesn't really tick a box. And then, you know, I'll be 34 by the time I come back. So I'll miss next season, be back for the season after. Realistically, how long will I play after that? Fourth ACL, three on third in the same leg. So there's even a higher chance of it going again. But then on top of that, the type of sort of, they put a graft in your knee to sort of make it better, basically. And the type of graft they wanted to use was scientifically, or the latest research, it was the weakest graft. That's the sort of graft I had to have in my knee. So again, coming back at 34, when the knee's at its weakest anyway, I was like, oh, there's no point. And it would actually break me if I'd done it again at that age.
I mean, I think what we've seen is like, when it happened, I think fan base, we kind of thought, you know, the age and everything, are we going to see him in a Worthing shirt again? Just for the interest point of view, like mentally, you've obviously got a lovely young family, you know, you're happy, you've got lovely two young, healthy kids and everything like that. But from a mental point of view, has it been tough? Like, you know, just sitting there, like, you know, thinking on a Saturday.
What, the retirement?
Well, yeah, I guess that, and realising you might not play.
Yeah, like, after I had the second consultation, I was like, well, there's no rush now, sort of thing. I'm waiting on to hear if I can get some funding through the PFA. So I was like, I'm not making a decision now. I sort of parked the bus on it. And then when I finally come to accept that I was retiring, I remember telling Hinch on Boxing Day. And then I told you as well, after the game, didn't I? I told George after the game as well. And that's when it was real. And then before the game, when I was watching it, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I was so much more emotionally engaged with the football. So I was getting annoyed because, you know, we were doing things wrong on the pitch or whatever, or we nearly conceded the goal, and then
things don't change.
No, and then but when we scored a goal, I was like just weirdly even happier than what I normally am, and those sort of things. And emotionally, I was all over the place. And then I spoke to Hinch and George after and just said, that's it, that's me done, sort of thing. And then ever since coming back to the games, it was the same, like emotional rollercoaster. I couldn't like sit still in my seat. I was so like itching to get there. And I wasn't really experiencing that beforehand because I don't think I actually really convinced myself I was retiring. I always thought, I might come back. But once I actually said it out loud to them, it was like, yeah, this is tough. And then when it got announced retirement-wise, it's just, yeah, even watching it now, it's just a whole different load of emotions again. Like, I'm just itching to get out there. But even in any capacity now, I just want to go and coach. I want to do something to do with football. So it's tough, but I've got a silver lining where I'm just so busy, with work and kids. Mm. I haven't got time to think about it in a week. I'm just doing things. I'm occupied, which is, I suppose, is a good distraction. But again, when I come to the home games here, it just all just sort of comes rushing back a little bit, which is tough. Hard, yeah.
It's like a realization that you're not out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're with us on the
side. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It is. It's tough, but it's just, it's always going to come to an end, isn't it? It's just a bit gutting how it come.
Well, if you're not getting involved in coaching straight away, there's always space behind a goal for you. I'm sure you could sing a song or two, couldn't you? I could see you leading a couple of songs. Yeah.
Can you bang a drum?
Tell you what, me and Mrs. Till, we come to the game the other day, and she actually wanted to come into the fan zone behind the goal.
Saturday?
I'm here Saturday, yeah.
Bring her along.
All right, okay.
Yeah, there we go. Listen up. Yeah, Aaron's going to be behind the goal on Saturday, guys and girls. So I guess, before we move on to what's next for Aaron Racine, career highlights. I mean, I think we all know what the Worthing one will be. But, you know, over the years, what's been your proudest moments?
I think a proud moment was playing at Wembley and then being captain and walking the team out. That was, I think, a proud moment.
That was Forest Green Rovers.
Forest Green Rovers, yeah. But I think because we lost in that final, it was always overshadowed. So it's one that I look back on, but I don't really look back on in terms of like happy memories. But I look back on as in, yeah, it's quite cool. I was at Wembley.
Well, it's an achievement. It's not, you know, it's obviously, there's always got to be one loser in a playoff final and there's going to be half of that stadium and, you know, the players and stuff are going to be gutted and devastated. But to lead your team out through that tunnel, the home of English football,
yeah,
that must be, even think about it now, probably gives you goosebumps.
No, it does, honestly. And it's like, but I think the word, best way to describe it is like a proud moment.
Yeah.
But then when we won the league here, you can't replicate that feeling of winning the trophy, no matter what level. If you're passionate about the sport you're playing and then the club that you're playing at, you can't. It doesn't matter if we were, you know, Sunday League or if we were in the Prem. I think, I can't speak for people in the Prem, but I can only imagine, like, honestly, I've never won anything before that. And when we did win it, I think the whole COVID situation made it a little bit sweeter, wouldn't it? But
yeah. Well, it's why you're in the game, isn't it? To win.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
If you don't want to win, then why are you doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's generally like addictive as well. Like that, honestly, I can't go over the feeling when we won it. It was like, yeah, you want some more of this now. Just a bit gutting that come later in my career.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that we could probably say that group of lads that sort of stuck together throughout COVID and finally got us over the line. Would you press to say that probably one of the best group of lads you played with in your career?
Yeah. I think, early on when I was at Forest Green, we had a really good bunch and we were always competing at the top in terms of like team morale and the cohesion in the squad. It was brilliant, but yeah, that was something special as well. And I think that definitely helped get us over the line. 100%.
Yeah, no, it was good. And I always remember Jasper and Ollie's goals that day, you know, and up at Bowers, that was just moment running on the pit. And I think for us as fans, his celebrations afterwards were something you never get at any other club.
Coming back here in Clubhouse afterwards.
Drinking out the trophy and stuff. We lifted it on the game when we played Brighton Sea. But they're memories. And I guess it's to go say, do you think we can go a little bit further this season? What do you see happening this season?
100%. I think we've now, at this very moment, we've picked up some unbelievable form. Yeah. Like some of the best football I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it might have come a bit too late in terms of Yeovil and how far ahead they are, but there's still plenty of time.
We've still got to play them.
Yeah, exactly. And if we can carry on what we're doing now, there's 100% no reason why we can't put a bit of pressure on them and then take it right to the final few games of the season. But
yeah, this is it. They've not had any pressure all season. No. Starts to get a bit of pressure, might tell.
We'll be breathing down the necks.
Yeah. But then I think as well, it'll put us, again, it's obviously easy to say now, but if we carry on the form, it'll put us in such good stead for the playoffs. I remember last year, we wasn't in the best of forms going into it. We were doing okay. We were a little bit hit and miss. And it just didn't really work on that day. I remember feeling on that day as well. It just didn't feel like we were at it.
Yeah, Oxford was disappointing. It was because we played so well against Braintree in the like semi final.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
Kind of was like it was.
Yeah, it was a strange day. Something just wasn't right on that day.
Yeah.
Something didn't click. And even from a fan's point of view, the way they put us all in that corner and it was like all level, sort of you couldn't really see over. Like there were so many fans.
Yeah.
It was like it was kind of we definitely felt. That's why I think Hinch has said we need to make sure we're going to be the home team. Like you know, second or third.
Yeah.
Be the home team.
Yeah.
In any
eliminator. We'll take anyone here, won't we?
Yeah. 100%.
So what's next for you? I mean, I'd like to see you in Worthing coaching. I mean, I'm sure that's on your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, I think my first reaction was to do coaching, but the coaching in terms of the kids and the youth teams here, I wanted to get involved with them, but they train on certain days where I can't make it. But like I said, I'm itching to get back. It's just whether it fits, sort of thing.
Now, could I put this tip in your head? Adam Hinchwood moves on. Which will probably, I mean, we won't want it to happen, but it could happen. Could we see Mr. Racine as a head coach / manager of Worthing Football Club one day?
Not anytime soon. One day, maybe. Yeah. One day, maybe. I'd like to.
That'd be full circle, wouldn't it? That'd be really cool.
That would be good, yeah. Like, I'd never say never to anything. I don't know whether I want to just coach or whether I want to go into management or not.
I can see you as a manager. You know, they say some players, like, you never could expect them. Like, I was listening to Peter Crouch's podcast and they were saying, like, you know, some players, like, I think it was Mark Hughes, they never expected him going to football management. He's done well. You know, he was the one that was first out.
Yeah.
But then he's made a really good manager. But, like, you can see yourself as a leader on the pitch.
Yeah.
I can see you definitely in
the yeah, I don't know. I've done a small stint doing the 18s for a little bit when I picked up an injury a few years ago. But yeah, I don't know. I suppose I have to go out there and try it, experience it, and then see how I feel. But I definitely wouldn't rule it out. But I wouldn't say anything anytime soon in terms of management at this level.
Yeah, no, it's early days. And you set up a company, am I correct? Because you're wearing some nice gear tonight.
Yes, yeah. No, I've got, so before I, when I finished coming out the professional game, I started doing some youth strength training for, well, obviously kids. And I done that for about 3 years at a friend's gym of mine, at a gym of a friend's of mine. And I had to jack it in because I was going into teaching full time. Mm-hmm. But now it just sort of makes sense to sort of just fill my sort of a little bit of spare time, a little bit of passion again, because I am passionate about it. All throughout my career, I've been invested in sort of strength, conditioning, health and wellbeing, nutrition, all that stuff. And when I was doing it before, I generally really enjoyed it, but I had to let it go for obvious reasons. But now I've got a bit of time. I've got a gym at my disposal where I work. So I'm thinking I could just sort of start it again and again, just try and just help the younger generation, first of all, understand the importance of it all, really. I think it's the hardest part about nutrition, strength and conditioning, general health and wellbeing, and not just for like athletes, because I want to work with athletes, but just general people. I think educating them on why you do things and when, et cetera, is really important. I think if you understand it, you're more likely to stick at it. So I'm trying to, do that.
Well, good luck for it.
Thank you.
It is sort of goodbye in one respect, but hello in another respect, and see you behind the goal on Saturday.
Yeah.
Aaron's always around.
And I hope your missus is like leading the chance as well, and then if she's the one that wants to be there.
Don't mate.
Or is that when you'll run away and go to
the bar? I'll
run away,
mate. I'll go to the bar.
Yeah, you go to the bar. Yeah. Actually, yeah, you can do it now. Don't turn into little Dean Cox. Dean Cox when he retired, he was at the bar. But yeah, good luck, and we'll see you around the club. But you know, thanks for all the memories. Memories, I think we speak on behalf of the Worthing fan base. You've been a key part of that squad that's brought so much joy to the town and the football club. So thank you for that and the memories. And Hall of Fame, surely, if there was a Worthing FC Hall of Fame. There we go.
Jesus
actually,
Christ.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah. Here we go. Thank you, Aaron.
No worries. Thank you, mate. Thank you.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
So do you think manager Worthing FC, Aaron Racine? Because, you know, as much as I'm sure it won't happen for a long time, but Adam Hinchwood, as much as we love him, he's not, I mean, he could be the next Alex Ferguson. He could be taking us through the league. But if he was snapped up and he went away, I could see someone like Aaron seems to me to have got the right persona to.
Never say never.
I think he quite liked it when sort of he saw his.
Yeah, a little glint in his eye when it was mentioned. Like, yeah,
I think he had that little imagination of sitting in the dugout barking all his buddy at his side and Coxie on the other side or something like that.
Big old coat with his initials on.
Yeah, I can imagine it. With trench coat, would you say? Trench coat for Aaron? Or would he be one of the fashionable managers? Like wearing, cool, would he wear like fashionable? Would he be a bit like...
I'd see him a bit more like a Ten Hag with his turtleneck.
I'd say slim. Oh, yeah, turtleneck, flat cap, slim fit suit, or is he a Sam Allardyce sort of thing?
I don't think it's an Allardyce, yeah. I don't think it's an Allardyce pint of wine.
Never really thought about that. Manager. What players? Let's think about that. Talking about players, let's say players are going to management from Worthing. Ollie Pearce, what would he be sort of dressed as? Cool, casual, wearing his Chelsea tracksuit that he always wears.
Yeah, I'm imagining some kind of no socks, first thing for something for some reason. Probably sort of smart shoes, no socks kind of look.
Danny Cashman?
Whatever he likes.
He'll just like style icon, wouldn't he? Be like, you know.
Whatever he wears, he could wear a bin bag. Wear a bin bag, like it'll look cool.
Yeah, Versace coat. I'm trying to think. Joel Colbran. Yeah, I think it'd be tracksuit. I think it'd be a tracksuit type of guy.
Yeah.
Training tracksuit.
But it'd be a nicely cut.
Nicely cut. Represent or something like that as a sponsor, that brand that they all wear. Well, we know Marvin Armstrong, it'd just be Grafter all over, wouldn't it? Grafter.
Yeah. Don't see much of that these days.
No. But, Spencer, I was going to ask you, Churro, Spencer Services, we haven't done it for a couple of months. Was there a Spencer Services moment?
Oh, wow, it's actually making a return.
Well, I told you, it's not a one-off. I made a graphic for it. I've got to keep Spencer Services up somehow.
Well, the return trip was just Tesco's for crates. So that's that.
No toilets used there?
No. The way there was Solstice Services by Stonehenge. Quite a selection there. Yeah. About this, more of an outlets.
Cleanliness.
McDonald's, Greg's.
What did you partake in?
Whatever takes your fancy.
Was it Greg's breakfast? Well?
It was a McDonald's breakfast.
Oh, you didn't go Greg's?
McDonald's breakfast.
What was it when we were at Greg's at Alphington?
Yeah, disappointing that was.
Oh yeah, we waited for ages and it was like lukewarm, wasn't it? But it was the cheapest thing at a service station. You go to McDonald's and a little Burger King.
We're becoming quite familiar with Solstice Services because it seems to be Worthing Coach's pit stop of choice on the way down west.
I think we'll have a bit more interest in next month's podcast. We've got Weymouth away, haven't we? And that'll be a long sort of away trip. What would be Southampton Services, probably Rowan's?
I don't know, we'll see. The suspense, eh?
Yeah, I mean, this is award-winning podcast work here, isn't it? Isn't it? Bloody hell. Anyway.
Can you believe we were actually nominated for an award once?
We were, weren't we? God, those were the days. That's before we actually got into it, really. Even God, if you did it, but then what are we doing now? Aaron, good luck for the future, because we'll see him around. He wants to come behind the goal. Might see him on Saturday behind the goal.
Love it.
Behind the goal.
Get him on the drum.
But yeah, I think that's about it for this this month's edition of the Rebel Yell podcast. It's been an action-packed month. I mean, I'm absolutely buzzing to see these shirts finally launch. And to be honest, my wife's buzzing as well. She gets them out the blooming front hallway under the stairs. You can have some space. So please buy them.
Yeah, till batch
actually,
2 turns
if you feel sympathy for my wife, just buy a shirt. That's what I'm saying. Forget Worthing Food Foundation. Forget Worthing Sports Association. Get out of James's wife's hallway. I think that could be a new campaign. Get out of Vicky's hallway.
That's the slogan.
Yeah, out of Vicky's hallway. Got to be careful, hashtag. But yeah, please do purchase those. It supports a great cause in Worthing Food Foundation. We donate a percentage. And you know, it's just a local community shirt, feel good factor. And thanks to Danielle Rowe and Danny Cashman for modelling it for us, because they look good. I mean, you can't get better.
Taking time out.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it.
Danielle wasn't even meant to be here. She was meant to be at Worthing Leisure Centre.
She came down. So thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Looking forward to matches coming up. Dover, which is this weekend. We're selling the shirt, obviously. I'm going to look forward to that and hopefully get a bit of a, you know, friendly revenge on sort of what they did last time they were here. I'm really looking forward to Weymouth away.
Yeah, Weymouth's a good away day.
I haven't been to Weymouth, but I know the manager, Bobby, down there, That would be a good away day, I think. I like going down that way. Yeah. The last sort of journey down there, I think, this season towards the West Country, isn't it?
Yeovil.
Oh, yeah, Yeovil. Not on the game of season or something like that.
Could be total decider.
And let's try and avenge the Braintree 4-0 defeat.
Tried to wipe that from my memory.
Not a nice one, that was it. That was horrible. But, you know, the way the team are playing at the moment, I fully expect to be...
Oh, we'll get our revenge on them, no problem.
And I think, you know, we're sitting second at the moment, 4 points clear. We're 10 points behind Dover, I think. They've got a game in hand, but we've got to play them still.
Yep.
Strange things Good happen, game. Spencer.
Good game.
Do we start
thinking? Can keep in touch up till that game.
It's coming home. Do we start saying that? But as we said to George, as we said, you know, as a fan, you kind of want to start believing, want to start thinking, but sometimes it's hard to not get carried away, but it is.
It's always the belief.
Yeah.
The belief that gets you through.
Yeah, no, it is. But it's going to be an interesting month. Thanks again for tuning into this podcast. Do follow us on Worthing FCSA at Rebel Yell, WFCSA, and RebelYell.live. Pete on a match day, thanks to our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical, as per usual. And buy the shirt, please.
Buy the shirt. I hope you like it, and we've enjoyed it. But myself, James.
Me, Spence.
We'll see you around, and thank you, and up the Rebels.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.